This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Back in 2017 on Stateside, we talked to Antonio Espri. He's one of the Michigan juvenile lifers who was released after Supreme Court rulings declared that mandatory life without parole sentences for teens under 18 were unconstitutional. So we thought we'd check back with Antonio Espri. Welcome back to Stateside, first of all.
Well, thank you for having me.
Last time we talked, you enrolled in classes at Arizona State University in the fall of 17. How's that going?
So classes at the University of Arizona is most definitely going good for me. My major is justice studies. I'm in the School of Social Transformation. It's my second year. I'm in person now. The first time I was online student.
Online, right.
So having in-person classes allows me the opportunity to sit in a classroom and listen to a professor lecture. Not being able to be in a classroom in decades, you know, the feeling is good. Having peers that's young enough to be my children and grandchildren is also kind of hilarious, but I'm enjoying the environment and everything that's being offered.
We've talked about this a little bit in the past when you were on the program, but you served 30 years in prison. What's the adjustment been like for you?
So the adjustment, returning back to society, is a continual and will be continual adjusting period. It has been more positive because of what I have adjusted my time and my life to and towards, which is school and work and being involved in community events. And so it allows me to interact and it allows me to get involved in things that I have a strong passion for. So the adjustment has been very, very positive, but it's a continual adjustment.
What about, you know, outside of the classroom, outside of events, what's life like?
Life is wonderful. Life is beautiful. I am able to offer my experiences to help people better understand the issues around juveniles who have experienced the incarceration experience, juveniles who are getting out of prisons and returning back to communities.
You're talking to your professors about this, your classmates?
I'm talking to my professors about this. I'm talking to certain classmates about this who—
What's their reaction?
Their reaction from the professors, they're very proud and very welcoming of me to be at the university and be in their classroom. As far as the students, they're shocked to be able to be in the company of someone who doesn't fit a particular stigma of what a prisoner looks like or what a prisoner sounds like. So that stigma, but they're shocked and at the same time, they're taken back and, you know, they welcome it. So the assistance that's given to me by, you know, both the students and the professors are pretty much a warm and welcoming, you know, back to our society, back in community, back to school. And they're proud of me, you know, proud of the fact that I'm at the age that I am, taking education seriously, trying to do something with my life, not giving up or, you know, making excuses for anything.
We also want to ring in Deb LaBelle, who's been keeping us informed about juvenile lifers in Michigan. LaBelle is director of the Juvenile Life Without Parole Initiative at Michigan American Civil Liberties Union. So could you give us a brief reminder why the Supreme Court ruled life without parole for juveniles was basically unconstitutional?
Sure. It's now been since 2012. The U.S. Supreme Court recognized that children, when they commit offenses, even harsh offenses, including murder, that they're still children and that their environment and their capacity, their unique capacity for growth and learning, provides a requirement that they have to have an opportunity to be their rehabilitation be recognized and come back into our community.
Sure, their brain's still developing at that age, right?
And so to do anything else, the court said, is cruel and unusual punishment and fails to recognize, as you say, that they're still developing, that they're in households, that they lack choices, and that when you're under 18 in the civil society, you have very limited rights. And so you can't then say, oh, we're going to treat you the same as if you're an adult in the criminal system.
Now, Michigan had more than 360 juvenile lifers. That's the second most in the state. I think Pennsylvania had more. Is that right?
Originally, yes.
How many have yet to have their sentences reconsidered?
Over 200.
Really?
Still waiting.
Why aren't things moving faster? I mean, this has been a couple, 3 years now.
It has been. We have a couple of counties that have been really resistant to recognizing what the Supreme Court says, that you get an opportunity for resentencing. We had a prior attorney general who was antagonistic to the whole concept that children are different and have an opportunity to—
Right. Bill Schuette fought it in the courts. Yeah.
Fought it every inch of the way. And so what we have is we have a few counties in which the prosecutors have decided that instead of listening to the Supreme Court that said it's only the very rare juvenile— very, very rare, I think Justice Sotomayor said in the most recent decision, that would be incapable of rehabilitation and should perhaps the sentence of life without parole might be appropriate. Instead, in Oakland County, for example, the prosecutor there sought life without parole again for almost every single juvenile in that county. And that's what's happened, and then requested a stay for a while they got ready for this. And so those have been going very, very slowly, as in the counties that have sought for all of their youth that they again have life without parole. People have not had the opportunity, despite sitting for years, the sentences have been vacated, and they're sitting there without the opportunity to demonstrate. But I will say, coming off of yesterday, just a client of ours who was the prosecutor sought life without parole in Oakland County, and when the judges hear that someone has served 29 years and has 12 misconduct tickets, when the people who were in there, the former officers, come forward and say, this is an amazing person who he has become, when every testimony is rehabilitation, the judge essentially gave that man time served yesterday. So when you can get to the judges, past the prosecutors, and actually present the deep rehabilitation stories that are there, you know, people are getting a term of years. And the parole board is recognizing there are no risks. We have 91 people out.
As you mentioned, we have a different attorney general. Dana Nessel's in office now. Has there been anything different from the AG's office in regards to juvenile lifers? Or is it out of her hands at this point?
Well, I think she sets a tone. A very different tone than Bill Schuette set. I think that she has made statements that she's going to represent all people and that, you know, recognizes the decency and basic entitlement of rights for everyone in this state. And I think she evidenced that when she came in the ACLU, we had a class action, the Hill case, that actually went up and down through the federal courts, and the courts awarded everyone in the juvenile lifers their good time and disciplinary credits, which has opened up people's ability to get off much earlier seeing the parole board. And when she came in, Bill Schuette was trying to take that up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and she stopped that, recognizing that the Supreme Court's decisions, both the Michigan court decisions and the federal court decisions, were correct. So I think she set the tone there.
Is there anything concrete she can do beyond what you're just talking about there?
As head prosecutor of the state, she can continue to set the tone that prosecutors should look carefully at each case and not just assume that everyone should serve life without parole, and make some careful decisions about what they're going forward with. I mean, these trials are costly, not just emotionally, to individuals who thought, I was going to have a chance, and now they're still trying to impose life without parole, but also in terms of the cost to the state and the counties as to try these cases.
Antonio, I have to ask you a hard question, because I really want to get to this. How does that crime that you committed when you were 16 weigh on you now that you're in your 40s and trying to put your life together?
So the crime that I committed at 16, I had no way of understanding at that age the ramifications of all what was involved, all who was harmed as far as family, community, the harm that I projected upon myself. I had no way of understanding that and what that meant. And as we look at the age that I am now, the development in terms of my maturity, the opportunity to be able to reflect upon life more responsible in a different frame of mind, different values, different morals, different experiences, I understand and can be responsible and accountable for my actions as an adult now. That's the difference. And so there's no weight in terms of in now, because not only have I been forgiven for what I'd done as a young boy, by both my victim's mother and victim's daughter, but I've also been forgiven by society. And so, you know, one of the things is that what should be done now today under this administration versus what was done under the prior Snyder administration is that the citizens of the state of Michigan no longer is led by fear. And the citizens want to see juveniles released. The citizens of the state of Michigan want to have juveniles who've done 25, 30, 35 years and more released back into society and back into community, because it's people like me and other juveniles who are shown as examples that we are out here in our communities and back out here connected to our society to do that which is right. And we have not at one time presented ourselves in a harmful or conflicting way. So it goes against the ideologies about fear, about releasing juveniles and what that looks like. And so it's time to embrace what citizens truly want. You know, we understand the harm as adults now. We understand harm that we've committed. But during the time as a young child, I think that punishment has been served. You know, I've said it before, Michigan does not do adults who've committed the same type of crimes like they do juveniles. And the fact that adults can plea bargain out because they have an understanding and a mentality that's mature enough to give them that way out, and juveniles who are young do not understand what it is about taking pleas, I think that, you know, that type of leverage that's used in adults versus what's not given in consideration to our young kids, our juveniles, I think it is unfair.
Antonio Espri was sentenced to life without parole as a juvenile until the Supreme Court ruled that that was unconstitutional. He's now out of prison and going to college. Deb LaBelle is the director of Juvenile Life Without Parole Initiative at Michigan American Civil Liberties Union. Thanks to both of you for coming in and sharing.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.